Hallelujah. I want us to do a little bit of a review of what I talked about last week, which was the prayer of faith, the prayer of petition, and then say a couple other things concerning that today and our place of authority in prayer. Our place of authority in prayer. And what is it we have authority over? And look at that just a little bit. So if you would, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read verse 18. Verse 18. Here says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now here, Moffat's translation says, praying with all manner of prayer. Another translation says, all kinds of prayer. And so we mentioned it last week, we mentioned again tonight, that there are different types of prayer mentioned in the Bible. And we know there's the prayer of agreement, where two of us will agree together, touching anything that we shall ask. There's the prayer of faith or petition, where we ask God for something specific and believe. There's the prayer of dedication and consecration, where we would pray, Lord, if it be your will, we'll do, you know, whatever it is you want us to do, whatever your will is, Lord. There's the prayer, someone said the high, or Brother Hagin actually would say it, but others, that the highest form of prayer is the what we call the prayer of praise and worship, where we don't ask God for anything, we're just spending time with God. Prayer is fellowshipping with God or talking with God. And if you want to, if we want to break it down in its basis form, I guess it would say prayer is having conversations with God. Now, how many of you have ever talked to somebody? I know I've got a friend that says, well, whenever you're talking to I won't mention her name, but say, whenever you're talking to so-and-so, they do the talking, you do the listening. Meaning they talk all the time. They don't give you a chance. Now, our prayer isn't supposed to be like that when we spend time with God. You know, it's talking and listening, right? He'll lead us and guide us and talk to us and a lot of times lead us, you know, and talk to us about the Word of God. But all kinds and all manners of prayer. And the interesting thing about prayer is this, that there are different regulations, if you will, spiritual principles that God has set forth concerning prayer. All right? Now let's look at Matthew chapter 21. And so we want to pray according to the principles, the spiritual laws that God has put in place concerning these types of prayer. So in talking about the prayer of faith or the prayer of petition, where we're petitioning God for something, let's look here in Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 21. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Notice that, first of all things. So there's not a limit here that... The words all things don't limit us, but we do know this. We have no business asking God for something that's not His will in our life. But we know His will because we know the Word of God. So before I would go to God with this type of prayer, I've got to know what God's will is concerning it. All right? I've got to know, is it God's will for me? What does the Bible say about that? Now, I would say, concerning most things of this type of thing, it's God's will for everybody, for instance, to be healed. Amen. That's what the Bible says, all right? It's God's will for everybody to have all their needs met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's God's will to be free from torment and oppression and all those type of things. It's God's will. So when we know that, now I notice He also says, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. Now, think about that as we go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, we'll read just verse 24. And my Bible's set up so I can actually fold the page. I can see both these verses, Matthew 21, 22, and Mark 11, 24 at the same time. Because I want to bring something out here that You know, after I preached here last Sunday night, I ended up getting scheduled to preach Wednesday night at Raymond Bible Church there in Broken Arrow. And I just thought, you know, it went over so good here. You guys liked it so much, and you guys just pulled it out so well here. I decided to preach it there on Wednesday night. But in the meantime, I started looking at something. Something drew my attention, and I want to bring that out tonight. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Now here, he said, all things whatsoever you shall ask, in verse 22. Here he says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have. I looked those words up. I looked the word desire up. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can read what Greek scholars have said about these words. The original New Testament written in Greek, and it's not a Greek that's spoken today, but it's very similar, and so people can figure these things out. But the word translated desire in Mark chapter 11 and the word translated ask in Matthew 21, exact same word. The exact same word. Now, it was interesting as I looked at it. I saw something came out as I began to study it. Now, there's other words in the Bible in the New Testament especially, for ask, of that and that sort. But in contrasting, in one place, I believe it was Robertson's New Testament word pictures, they contrasted the different words, and they said this word implies it's something that is due to you. In other words, you're asking for something that already belongs to you. It's due you. All right? Now, you know, if you go to work and they told you, okay, on Friday we're going to give you a paycheck, and it's Monday and you haven't got the paycheck yet, you better be going into the office and, hey, where's my paycheck? Why? It was promised you, right? Otherwise, we got problems. Aren't you glad God's not like that? Okay, but it's something that's due to us. In other words, it's something that we've seen from the Word of God that Jesus has already bought and paid for, purchased for us through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and seating at the right hand of God. It belongs to us. He's finished it. It's fully paid for. And we're just going to God and say, thank you for it, Father. So what we desire here, what we ask for, not demanding God, but just saying, you've already paid for it, I'll take it. All right? It's kind of like if you know you got money in the bank, well, how do you make a withdrawal? Now, most of us in here, you know, we wrote checks all of our life, right? You want to get money out of the bank or you want to pay a bill? What'd you do? You wrote a check. Now, some young folks say they don't know anything about writing a check. They have a debit card. Or they enter all that stuff online. They don't even carry cash with them. Poor things. Can't even, you know. Couldn't make good. If they went to the payphone, they couldn't even make a call. But they don't even know what a payphone is, right? Payphone? What payphone? What do you mean? Payphone? Where do I put my quarter? Amen. No, but this this is making withdrawals from what already belongs to us. So, what things soever you desire now, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. So this is the type of prayer that you only pray one time. You only ask for it one time because you believe you received it when you pray. Not you're going to receive it. I believe it's mine right now. I've prayed for it. I believe it's mine. In fact, even before you pray, you know it belongs to you. You're just going to God and saying you're asking for it. Okay, and you believe you received it. Now, the thing about it is I have to know it's God's will before I go, before I pray. Brother Hagin would say this, go to the Word of God and find scriptures that promise you what you're asking for, that says it belongs to you. So think about this. This is a prayer you pray one time, but you prepare to pray it many times. What does that mean? I'm constantly going to the Word of God. I'm constantly going to the Word of God. You know, back in the day before, tomorrow, a great miracle takes place. Amanda has stayed married to me for 30 years tomorrow. 30 years. It's a miracle. And all the praise goes to her. Amen. Amen. But back in the day, you know, when we were dating, it was long distance. I was at Raymond, she was at home. Then she went to college and I was home. And you just didn't pick up the phone and make long distance phone calls back then. How many of you know to call to the next town costs money? Right? You could be in the same area, but you don't call over there at the same area because you don't call over there. That costs money. And we didn't have cell phones. There wasn't no instant nothing. It was letters. You wrote letters back and forth, right? And every so often, you'd make a phone call. Not very often, you know. You'd make those calls. Now, I had a good point about this, and I'm trying to remember what it was. What? No, I'm not talking about that one either. I was going to bring up this point. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Amen. Anyway, well, we've been married 30 years tomorrow. Well, that's a good... I guess I just wanted to say that. I don't know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me get back to my point and it'll come back out. My point here is that you believe you receive when you pray. So you only pray this kind of prayer one time. But you're going to prepare over and over and over and over again. I know what my point was. Back in that day, when you had to write letters, you know, in that type of thing, I heard Brother Hagin talk about this. The reason I brought us up was to kind of relate it so that, you know, these young folks that know us could kind of understand. But he talked about where Mom Hagin would write him. They wrote letters back and forth. Again, you didn't make phone calls. And say one of the children is dealing with something. I remember one time the mumps, you know, mumps came on Pastor Hagin. He wasn't, of course, wasn't Pastor Hagin back then. He was Kenneth Wayne Hagin and their son. And he goes, Granny, he was standing, Granny, get a hold of Daddy. Get a hold of Daddy. Daddy will pray and I won't deal with this. But they would write back and forth and he'd tell him, he said, okay, on such and such a day, I'm going to pray. He had to wait for the letter to get there and give him time. But he said, in between that time that he said that and the time that Dave was going to pray, he would immerse himself in healing scriptures. He would build his faith up. And then he would just pray this prayer one time. Just one time in the name, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for healing Ken from the mumps. He's healed by Jesus' stripes. We believe it right now. And he told them, you believe it at such and such a time, I'm going to pray. That's the time you believe it, and it'll take place. And instantly healings would take place. All right? Now, in order to have answers to prayer like that, we have to spend time in the Word of God too. All right. 1 John chapter 5. Now, we're not going to turn over there, but 1 John chapter 5. I don't think I had it on my list tonight. But 1 John chapter 5, it says, this is the confidence, verse 14, that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And verse 15 says, if He hears us, we know we have the petitions we have desired of Him. But we're asking it according to His will, right? All right. Now, this is a prayer that we primarily pray for ourselves, the prayer of faith, petition. It deals with what we desire. It deals with what we need and ask for. Now, there are limitations on this, on me praying this prayer for you. Now, we do have one instance in the Bible that I know of where it does say we can pray the prayer of faith for others, and that was, we ended with this scripture last time. That's why I wanted to pick up here. James chapter 5, let's turn over there. Because we don't want to get frustrated in prayer and use the wrong type of prayer in helping others get their needs met, right? See, sometimes we get frustrated. Now, I will say this. Don't get in a hurry to pray the prayer of faith. Don't get in a hurry. Because a lot of times people are confessing the word, saying, I got it. And all they really are is reacting out of fear, and there's not faith. You know, you can quote the word out of fear. And usually when you do that, you quit calling things that be not as though they were. You start calling things that are as though they are not. And that's not what the Bible says. Instead of saying, I'm healed, doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter what I look like, I'm healed, glory to God, because by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. But when you get over in a fear, you start saying, I'm not sick. You know, denial is not faith. It's a river in Egypt. Never mind. That's another story. All right. James chapter 5. What did he say? Never mind. It's all right. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him. Now, notice real quick here. We want to do things according to the word. The sick person is supposed to do this. Call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick or heal the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. But I want you to notice here, so many of the times, you know, we got folks anointing everybody with oil and all that. There's nothing holy about oil, okay? It's a point of contact. It's a place where you release your faith. But notice, he said, he didn't say the oil would heal them. He said the prayer of faith would heal the sick. But here, notice, this person has asked these people to come and pray. Evidently, elders in the church, not a position on a board or anything like that, but spiritual elders, people who are mature in Christ, know how to pray the prayer of faith. All right? But here, it works on behalf of others. But you find out that our authority to pray the prayer of faith is limited. Limited when it comes to others. All right? You know, I've got two children. Now, their daughter turns 27 here this next week. Our son's 22. And my ability to pray for them has become limited when it comes to this. Because why? They've been raised in the church. They got a Bible. They know how to read it. One of them's a Bible school graduate. And they've got to pray the prayer of faith for themselves. Now, they could say, Dad, would you agree with me in prayer? Then we've got something we can hook up with. But I can't just get down before God or just stand before God and say, Father, I'm asking you to do this, you know, I believe I receive it. It's done. And no, I don't have that right in their life to the extent that I did when they were little children. Oh, yeah. You can pray the prayer, just claim it for them, and it was happened. Amen. Lay hands on them. You know, but now they're responsible. And you'll see that too with those who are newborn Christians. You can carry them for a while, if you will, with your faith. But you can't always do that. And I'll say this too. I've got more authority in my family than I do in your family. Okay? Now that authority that we have, realize this, it's not given us, we don't have authority over people and over their wills. We don't have that authority. Why? Because God doesn't have that authority. If it was God's will, everybody would be saved, right? He'd make everybody be a Christian. There wouldn't be all this mess out here. If you think what's happening in the world is God's will, then our God's a schizophrenic. Because it's crazy out there. This person getting saved and that person, they're over there murdering people. You know, God's not in control of all this stuff. It's his will. Now look here in... Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. We do have authority, though. And the reason we can pray in the name of Jesus and on our behalf is because we do have authority in our own life. But who do we have authority over? I don't have authority over you. Now, if you're harassing me, I might have authority over that spirit that's driving you because I've got authority over the devil. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to take authority over the devil and leave you to God. Because he said he'd be my rear reward. In other words, he'd take care of my backside. So don't be sneaking up on me. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want to be sneaking up on me. Okay? Don't be trying to do me harm on the backside because I'm telling you, God's back there. Amen. And he's behind you too to take care of you. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 says, that the God of our, this great prayer, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, was the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now this is a prayer that we can pray for ourselves. This is a prayer you can pray all the time, and it's a prayer you can pray for other Christians. All right? Why? Because no one, Paul says we know in part. No one's ever going to get on this earth to where they have all wisdom, all revelation, and all knowledge. So we can continually pray this prayer. He says when we get there, we'll know even as we're known. And I'm not so sure we're not going to be learning while we're there. Amen? Because, you know, you sometimes you think, well, I've seen them, I know them, I know them. But, you know, with God, you think you've got a good glimpse of God and you got a good hold on God. And if God just turns a little bit, oh, there's a whole part of God I never saw before. You ever had that happen in the Word of God? You've read a scripture and then all of a sudden you see another side of it. Oh, my. And you thought you knew it all. I got over that a long time ago, thinking I knew it all. Amen. And all my friends kept telling me I didn't know it all, but you know, you have to get over that one yourself. All right. But that power. Now look at verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now he's talking about authority. When you are seated at the right hand of the king, you are the king's right hand man. You have the authority of the king, of the throne, and you do business on behalf of the king. That's why you're seated there. Well, he's seated there, and praise God, over in chapter 2, verse 6, it says we've been seated there with him. We have that authority. But keep reading. It says, where are we? Far above, verse 21 says, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only this world but also that which is to come. Now, he's talking about everything that might be of the devil, you know, talks about, you know, the spiritual weakness, all those things listed in Ephesians 6, all that. That name and his name, it's above all of that, far above, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Well, how many of you know the feet are in the body? Aren't you glad you got feet? Good to have feet tonight, isn't it? Well, they're in your body. He said there, everything's been put under the feet of Jesus, and he's the head, and we're the body. So no matter what, you could be the bottom of the foot. You still have authority over all these things. Now, we don't have authority over other people's wills. We can't make them do what we want by praying and going to God and putting pressure on them. Amen. You don't see it so much these days, but I know, Miss Shirley, you know, remember when people, you know, they saw that. This happened when I was at Raymond way back, you know, and they'd see that young girl walking across. Well, I claim that one as my wife. I claim that one. Lord, I just thank you, forgive me. I believe I receive that one right there. Didn't even know her name, anything about her. Just claiming it. Well, it was uncomfortableness. I mean, there's a lot of people uncomfortable with that type of thing. And there was a lot of pressure. And you start messing with things like that. I don't mean to get all spooky and scary here. But you start dealing with things in the spirit realm like that, and it causes trouble. And it really breaks it down. And now listen to me. I'm not talking about, you know, talking about, well, it is. It's kin to it. It really gets down to witchcraft. When you start putting spiritual pressure on people that's against the will of God and against their will, you're dealing with the wrong spirits. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. All right? But it was, you know, thank God I don't hear that. I don't know. You hear that stuff today? Hopefully not. We dealt with, did you still hear some of that? Oh, my goodness. I don't. Because I've been claimed, see, so I don't remember any of that stuff. 30 years claimed here, so I don't hear about it anymore. He says, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now go to John 14. We do have authority and can operate in the authority in the name of Jesus to help the world. We can help people because we got a right and the authority to use the name of Jesus. John 14, verse 13 and 14. I like this. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I like that so much. I mean, he didn't say I might. He said I will. It's a guarantee. It's that word ask, there's that word again. Something that belongs to you. It's something that is yours. It belongs to you. And whatever you ask in my name, using that. And he's not talking about praying to the Father here. He's talking about whatever you ask. Now, do you remember, we're not going to turn over there, but let's remember the story in Acts chapter 3 where Peter and John are going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Remember the day of Pentecost had already come, and Peter preached that sermon, and 3,000 people got saved. And then in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple. It's the hour of prayer. And there's a lame man been laid there from his mother's womb, had never walked, and he looked at them, asking alms of them. He was there. He was another, and in those days, he must have been certified that he was actually, you know, couldn't walk, and so he was legally there. And he would ask people as they went in to worship God for help, for money. Well, Peter and John were in a situation where they had just got through a thing where everybody pulled all their money together, and they'd done it a couple times just to meet everybody's needs and feed that. And so they're going to the temple. And this is true when you live by faith. There's sometimes you got a lot of money on you. Sometimes you don't have any. Why? Because you're following God. You just gave it all away. But you're not empty. You're not broke. Why? Because you got the name of Jesus. And he said, Peter said to him, "Hey, look at us." He said, "Look, man, silver and gold, I don't have any money. But such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and lifted him up. And the Bible says the man went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple. And they asked Jesus later on, Peter and John later on, "By what power, by what authority, and in whose name have you done this?" And I always loved Peter there. You know, Peter said, "Well, you know, it's in the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, you religious leaders, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. It's by that name that this man stands here before you now whole." Hallelujah. See, we have that same right to use the name. That's what Jesus was saying. Now notice there, they use that name on that man's behalf. Okay? He's a beggar. He's looking. And I've seen this over and over and over. I've seen it over. Seen it all over the world work for people who don't know how to use it. And you can use the name on their behalf. And people, I've seen them get healed. All right? Now, the way it works, one reason it works, it's like, we'll ask people, anything sick, anybody sick here, anybody in pain, anything going on in anybody's life, anybody here need prayer? We'll want to pray for you if you do. And they give you permission. Well, you get after it in the name of Jesus. We've seen lame people walk. I mean, this last couple weeks there in Thailand, we had one girl on our trip. She's a second year Raymond student. She had never, ever prayed for anyone for anything. I mean, she's really just young in the Lord, learning things for the first time. She's in her second year, but I mean, it's still. And the very first person that she came in contact with that needed prayer was blind, amen, and deaf, and paralyzed on one side of her body. And after they prayed in the name of Jesus, she and another team member, they laid hands on her, "In the name of Jesus, receive your healing, be healed in Jesus' name." The person could see. Person could hear, and they weren't paralyzed anymore. In fact, that night at the crusade, they brought that person up on the platform and testified at the crusade what had taken place. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, using the name of Jesus, we do have the right to use that name on behalf of people, especially the world, healing through the world in the name of Jesus. Now look at John chapter 16. Using that name. See, how is that authority? Well, he's been given a name that's above every name. Is that right? That name's above every name. And it's above every name that's named there in Ephesians chapter 1 said. It's under his feet. Here in John 16, verse 23. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing." Talking about the day that he ascends to the Father. "In that day you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." So we don't pray to Jesus, do we? Now we use the name of Jesus in those situations. But notice Peter and John didn't pray. They didn't stop and pray for the man. They said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." But here is when we go to the Father. We pray to the Father in that name. Now notice it said, "Whatsoever you shall ask," there's that word again, "the Father in my name, he will give it you." Didn't say he might. Didn't say he could. He said he will give it to you. There's no doubt there, is there? "Hitherto or up till this time, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full." Glory to God. That your joy may be full. Ask and you shall receive. So here, notice in this, this is the authority to use that name in prayer. In prayer. Well, I didn't mark it down, but let's look at Mark chapter 16. We'll pull that up there. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark's gospel, chapter 15, verse 16. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have authority? We've been given that name that's above every name. Mark 16, 15. "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now notice here, it didn't say these signs will follow them that go preach, even though they do. It follows those that believe. These are the people who have believed what's been preached, and they're saved. And he said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. Shall they cast out devils? In my name, see, in my name goes with all this. They shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, he's not talking about snake handling here. He's talking about the power of the enemy. In my name shall they lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. In his name. Not in my name. Not by my anointing. I don't have enough power in myself to heal a gnat's wing. Small as that would be. You know? Gnats aren't very big. I don't like gnats. I want to get them away from me. Maybe I've killed a few and should have healed them. I don't know. But I don't have enough power. But thank God I have access to the name of Jesus. Amen. And when I come in contact with somebody that needs, I'll never forget the first person that had full-blown AIDS that I ever prayed for. I mean, they are giving up to die. They've got, I asked them to come in the prayer line, what's wrong? He said, I've got AIDS. And in this part of the world I was in, at that time, there was over 2 million males in that area that had AIDS. There's AIDS orphans all over that area. Their parents all died from AIDS, and some of the children are infected because of it. But the very first person I ever came in contact, they had the full-blown AIDS, had all the symptoms, everything. Their body's shutting down. They can't fight off any sickness, any disease whatsoever. They're shutting down, all right? And they said, the cause is I have AIDS, and so now I've got malaria, I got typhoid, I got all these things. And so when something like that, when you know the authority that you have, and you got the Spirit of God in it, the compassion of God just rises up on the inside of you. And you don't shrink back. It's like Jesus. I know why Jesus laid hands on the leper. You're not supposed to touch the leper, but Jesus laid his hands on him. Why? Because he was moved with compassion towards him. And that compassion, I just grabbed the guy and hugged him. Just got a big old hug, bear hug on him, and just said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be healed of this. Be healed of this in Jesus' name. Say, did you feel it? I didn't feel any power. I didn't feel anything other than the compassion of the Lord. And I let go of him. I said, you're healed in Jesus' name. Just go from here thanking God for it. Hallelujah. That person's still alive today. Amen. That was 20 years ago. That happened the very first time I went to Kenya. Well, actually 22 years, 1996. Person's still alive today, healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wasn't because of me. It's because of that name. That name of Jesus. Glory to God. We have authority to use that name, not only in prayer, but the authority to speak that name. And we have that right and that privilege. And here he said, in my name, you shall do these things. See, the devil can't stand against the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease can't stand against the name of Jesus. No power of the enemy can stand against that name. Amen. It is that by his name that we have the victory and have and operate in our authority, and we also have the right to use it in our prayers. Amen? Thank the Lord. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise. Thank you, Father, for that precious name. Thank you, Father God, that whatsoever we desire when we pray and we believe we receive, we shall have it. Thank you, Father, that whatever we ask in that name, make a demand in that name upon that what Jesus has done, it shall be done. Thank you, Father, when we come to you according to your will, we are confident that what you have said we will have. We give you all the praise for it, all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm going to ask Glenn and Heather to go ahead and come. If you need prayer for anything tonight, I want you to come up and see them. They're going to pray with you according to the Word of God. If you need to accept, you don't know Jesus, if you need a know-so experience, say, well, I don't know if I'm born again or not. I don't know if I go. Well, you need to know. Don't leave here without knowing tonight. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. You come up and pray with them, and that you'll get yourself right with God. Or maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You can do that tonight in the name of Jesus. Or maybe you might want to have them agree with you and lay hands on you in Jesus' name that you might be healed. He said believers will lay hands on the sick and the sick will do what? Recover. Glory to God. Amen. It might happen right now, but it's going to happen. It doesn't matter when. I'm recovering in Jesus' name. I am the recovered. Hallelujah. The moment hands are laid on me in that name. Praise the Lord. Brother Greg, we got anything else? Got something else we need to go ahead.
Hey, everybody. I'm sorry. I had forgotten to do this during the announcements, but about the middle of May on the 13th on Mother's Day is Mrs. Hagen's birthday. And what we want to do is starting tonight, before and after service, you can see Christina out in the cafe area. She has her birthday card. Just go ahead and just write a little blessing note in there for her. And we're going to honor her on the 13th for her birthday.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Glory to God. Tell somebody before you leave tonight, I thank God for the name of Jesus. Amen. And you can be dismissed. Glory to God.